Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome back in. Hour number 2 of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Going to be joined later this hour at 7:30 by Trey Wallace from Outkick. So Trey Wallace, moving all over the place, has gone from Fox Sports Knoxville to Rocky Top Insider to Outkick in like 6 months.
Man, moving.
Moving around. So looking forward to Trey coming up at 7:30. We'll talk Vols with him. Look ahead to a big weekend in the SEC as well. So looking forward to that conversation. Joe Rexroad, you had something on your personal text line that you wanted to get
to? Oh, yeah. I know we're talking college football, but just real quick. So watching, you know, I was watching some of the game on the Southwest app, which is great. You know, in the Southwest flights, you can watch live TV for free.
That's right.
And I got a text from my brother. He's like, these Lions really suck, but I can watch this team. Major talent, yes, but they actually look like a football team with a bit of an edge. So that was like at 8:13. So that was probably about like second quarter. They were. So about 9:45, as I went to bed, I said, yeah, they just suck, man.
They're just not very good. There you go.
I've tried to help him too. I've tried to help my brother and others. You know, I feel responsible for my children. You know, I can't be responsible for my brother. He's a more responsible person than I am in general, but he's still got the sickness, man.
It's a tough one, man.
Sickness.
Yeah.
It's an issue.
Christopher tweeted me last night, our buddy from Atlanta, friend of the show, and asked me how my kneecaps were when the Lions were up 17-14 at halftime. Some good stuff.
Oh, sore kneecaps. Dan Campbell's coming.
That's right. And then that sputtered out very quickly to begin the second half. So good stuff on that front. Josh Heupel addressing the media yesterday at his Monday press conference, looking ahead to his first Tennessee versus Florida matchup coming up Saturday night in the Swamp, and obviously about to be an uptick in competition for Tennessee, and the Florida Gators going to be a much better team than they've seen thus far. Here's what Josh Heupel, Tennessee head coach, had to say yesterday about stepping into conference play with his group.
Obviously, everybody in the building is excited. Opportunity to start conference play. Obviously, know the level of competition is going to rise this week. Looking forward to the challenge going down there on the road. First road game for us as a program here. And obviously, the week of preparation is going to be really important, paying attention to the details. And you get on the road, communication is going to be critical in all three phases of the game. Something that offensively is going to be critical in particular. But looking forward to the challenge, guys. Came in the building today, had an opportunity to watch the video with them, get some work on the grass, and ready to get going here.
So Josh Heupel and company ready to get going coming up on Saturday against the Gators. We'll get into specifically that matchup coming up here in just a few minutes. But Joe Rexroad, I ask you, we're 3 games in now. The Vols are 2-1 with 2 games against inferior opponents that I don't know how much you could actually learn in those games. And an entertaining game against Pittsburgh that there were certainly opportunities there on the table for Tennessee to make some plays and win that game. What have you learned about this Tennessee team through the first 3 games of the season, and how much improvement do you still think is there to make with this group, given that we know that the talent is just not where Josh Heupel quite needs it to be yet, and that there are certain limitations with this roster? What stood out to you about Tennessee through the first 3 games?
Well, first of all, how much do we put into transitive football? I generally try to avoid transitive football.
Yeah.
Because if you believe in it at all, you saw Pittsburgh lose to Western Michigan last week. And Western Michigan, by the way, I mean, they've got legit offensive players, but still, that's a brutal loss for Pittsburgh. And I think it has to make you think a little bit differently about that game. Because I actually thought Pittsburgh was like a top 25-ish team this year, and you can't lose that game. That said, again, transitive football, be careful, because if you want to go down the rabbit hole of that, you can come up with Tulsa's going to win it all or like Clemson sucks. You know, I mean, you can take a lot of ways. But just from what we've seen, look, I mean, that game, that is a good offensive team. Pittsburgh, they lost 44-41 to Western Michigan. And I think we saw in that game some of the limitations of the Vols defensively. But I also feel like overall I've liked how they've played defensively. Like I think Tim Banks is doing a good job coordinating the defense. I think they have some good players. I think they have some limitations that are going to be exposed here, probably real soon. So I still would say the defense is a little bit better than I feared it might be. And I tell you what, you know, Byron Young got out on the field. I thought, you know, you noticed him sometimes in that game. And he had to sit the first two games out, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But this is one of those games where a guy like Byron Young in tandem with Tyler Barron could potentially make a difference. That's what they need. They need more playmakers. But they found some too. And then on the other side of the ball, I like the design. I like the offense. I like the tempo. I like the play calling. I like that they're operating it fast without making a bunch of silly mistakes. And then they just haven't found quarterbacking that's good enough to give them a chance when they play these really good teams. But I think with both of the possible quarterbacks Saturday, we've seen some things that if you could, okay, copy that, duplicate that now for a whole game, it could be pretty good. I mean, I love their receivers. Offensive line, pretty good.
Important to get healthy, though, on the offensive line. I think we've learned, that's what I've learned through the first three games. They need Cooper Mays in there. And there is a difference without him being in there. And look, I don't know that, I mean, Cooper Mays, he's not like an all SEC offensive lineman or anything, but I just don't think that the depth on the O-line right now is where they need it to be. I think that's been pretty obvious. And I honestly think that's one thing that was disappointing to me on Saturday against Tennessee Tech. You know, Hendon Hooker ran around and pretty much did whatever he wanted to. But Tyon Evans, Jalen Wright, they didn't have much running room in that game. And if you don't have much running room in that game against Tennessee Tech, how are you going to run the ball against Florida? That was concerning.
Fair question. I agree. Cooper Mays is good. I mean, he's a good player.
Good player.
Yeah, he's a big story for this week. You know, I feel like Juwan Mitchell is important. But even Jabari Small, if they could get him and Evans back going healthy,
yep.
I like that tandem. You know, I think Wright is a promising freshman, but those other two guys, a little bit more physicality, and I think that's what you need. So, yeah, they're going to have all that. I would assume some of these guys will be back this week, but overall, I think you saw the difference even in the Bowling Green game with Cooper Mays in versus out. And you're right, the depth isn't great, and, I mean, the transfer portal can be blamed for some of that, some guys who should still be here who aren't.
Yeah, no question about that. And to your point about Heupel, it's been pretty refreshing to not have to have conversations about, like, what's the offensive coordinator doing? Like, what's the play caller doing? I think largely, and you're not going to be perfect as an OC and as a play caller. We get that. But I think largely Heupel has a pretty good feel for when to call certain plays. The tempo is good. I mean, it's not an overly complicated system either to understand, and they had some players talking about that yesterday. Like, they were asked about the crowd noise in the Swamp, and I think it was Cedric Dillman. He was like, well, I mean, we don't really say much on offense. It's all kind of hand signals.
Kind of nice.
Yeah, so you don't really have to worry about that from a getting the plays relayed in their standpoint. Now, snap counts and all that are a different thing. But I've been pretty impressed by what I've seen just operationally, play calls from Josh Heupel. Now, execution, it's going to have to get better, especially throwing the ball down the field. But I like what I've seen from the overall offensive operation thus far.
Yeah. And look, Heupel is clearly frustrated, and I get it, with the missed opportunities. And I'm sure, you know, on the practice field, that's what I heard about Joe Milton in August, is he's hitting deep shots all over the place, and it's like no one can push the ball down the field like that. So there's a little bit difference in adrenaline, you know, when you're in a game or whatever it is. You know, I don't know. But you got to be able to hit on those. I'm, I just – I keep – I mean, obviously, along with just this first big SEC test for Heupel, and what they if they can hang in, and you know that they can make this look like a rivalry. It's still like the quarterback story is still the biggest story, and I just don't. I go back and forth on what I think Heupel would do if he had both guys available.
Well, and no clarity on that yesterday from Josh Heupel either. So we'll continue that conversation coming on next. What should Tennessee do at quarterback against Florida? And what sort of a chance do they really have against this Gators team? We'll get into all that coming up next. Make sure you play Silly Underdog Picks today. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win a pair of tickets to a sporting event or to a concert in Nashville. Go to thegamenashville.com to play now. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. We'll be right back here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Joe is healthy. Is he your starter, or you have a quarterback?
I never speak in hypotheticals. Got a little bit of work last week. We'll find out where he is in particular. Tuesday, Wednesday here, and see where we're at that point as far as whether he'll be able to play or not.
That was Tennessee head coach Josh Heupel yesterday at his press conference. Not messing around with hypotheticals with Joe Milton in terms of his availability coming up on Saturday against Florida. Let's welcome back in here on Robbie and Rex Road, Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here, our sponsor here on Robbie and Rex Road. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Josh Heupel kind of playing it close to the vest there in terms of what the quarterback situation is going to look like, what Joe Milton's availability could be. Said he did get some work in a week ago, and we'll see if that work can increase this week starting today and tomorrow when practice really ramps up for Tennessee as they prepare for Florida. So, Rex Road, I ask you, based on what you've seen from Hendon Hooker and what we've seen from Joe Milton when he's been on the field, if Joe Milton is healthy, who are you starting at quarterback on Saturday against Florida?
Well, I think you also have to base it on understanding that there's also a whole bunch of information we don't have.
Yep.
Not that there's anything more important than what a player does on the field during games, but there's also, I mean, there's a reason Joe Milton was, one, brought in, and two, won the job. I'm assuming it's, you know, information that affirms him as the starter. And I just don't know that Hooker has done quite enough to take the job away from someone who was out because he was hurt. Now, I understand some Tennessee fans will be like, no, he lost the job because he missed on 17 straight wide open bombs against Pittsburgh, which is an exaggeration.
Slightly.
Yeah. But yeah. I mean, it's like 5-6, right? The more, I guess, I've gone back and forth, but I feel like Hooker needed to be great Saturday. Again, it's a blowout. It's Tennessee Tech. But still, you're still evaluating individual performance. I don't know that he quite did enough.
He was good.
Yeah.
But he wasn't special.
I mean, there's some things that he does better than Joe Milton. He is a better runner. You have a better QB run game. It's a different QB run game, but it's better with him. And I do think that probably the short and intermediate. See, that's the thing, though. It's like short and intermediate stuff. Actually, I think Milton on some throws is tremendous. He's not inaccurate. I mean, if you need him to throw like an absolute scorching, you know, 10-yard slant, he'd probably put it right on there. I've been impressed with his accuracy on everything other than balls that he tries to put loft on,
yep,
that he has to put loft on. So I think it's him. I think it's back to him if he can run this week.
Dennis on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says hypotheticals. Josh Heupel not dealing in hypotheticals.
Yes.
Very well done, Dennis.
Good job, Dennis. That's a Keith. You know, that's usually Keith's domain, but Keith had something hilarious, by the way. Did you see this?
I mean, probably. I see all of Keith's. I don't remember specifically which one you're bringing to mind right now, though.
I think it was something off the Titans game, and now I'm forgetting it. So
was it the Twitter thing that he tweeted? Like Rex Croak or something?
Well,
there is Rex Croak.
That is one of his specialties. Yeah. But now he had something else different, and I was like, ah, Keith, very good.
Well,
anyway, good job, Keith. Whatever the heck it was. It was great.
Very nicely done. So Joe Rexrode, and you've received some flack for this on Twitter over the weekend, especially while Florida was playing. Looking pretty good against Alabama. What have you said about this Tennessee and Florida game for those who have missed it? And what do you think maybe has been lost in translation from some Tennessee fans on what you've said?
Well, I guess. I mean, I don't. You tell me. I mean, I just forgot something I thought was funny from Keith like 2 days ago. You tell me. I don't think I've said, like, I like Tennessee's chances.
No.
I've said I could see them making it interesting. I think that's basically what I've said, right? And frankly, I feel a little bit less like that after watching Florida-Alabama. Yes. I mean, every week brings new information.
Yes.
Week one often lies, and then you start to sort things out. We all thought Alabama was just going to blow the doors off Florida, and Florida ran the ball all over them. Like, Alabama hasn't been run on like that in a long time. So, I'm less confident the Vols can make this a game. I'm still intrigued by the Vols with the ball and the sort of things that they could do in this game, because that's what it's going to have to be.
Yeah, like, you know, and part of me still kind of wonders from a something as trivial and as simple as like a motivation standpoint, right? Like, it's not hard if you're Florida to get ready to play against Alabama. They're coming into your place. You know, it's a sellout crowd. It's one of the best environments the Swamp has seen in a long time. And you want a piece of Alabama. I think you play about as well as you could have hoped for in that game. You end up losing by two. Like, is there kind of a natural letdown that comes after that? You're playing against Tennessee. Yes, it's a rival. But it's also a rival that you've beaten like 15 out of the last 16 years or whatever that – what I don't even remember what the number is anymore. They've beaten them so many times. So I do wonder if a little bit of the human element is there. I mean, I watched some of the Florida game against Florida Atlantic. I watched a lot of Florida against South Florida. It didn't look all that impressive to me. And we talked about it last week. Florida really has not looked up all that good up until this point. And then they come out and play the way they did against Alabama. Can they maintain that level of play? It looks like Anthony Richardson is going to be available to them at quarterback, which he was not last week against Alabama. So,
does that matter now, though?
I still think he's better. I think he's better than
Emory
Jones.
I think he may end up proving to be better, but after Emory Jones played like that?
I think you're going to see some Anthony Richardson on Saturday.
Yeah, I guess I could see that as a change of pace, but man, I just thought the second half of Emory Jones was –
he looked good.
It wasn't just running the ball. I mean, made some – that could be a turning point for him, but we'll see. But I agree with all – I agree with you on, like, I'm sorry, but I know this is a rivalry, but it doesn't have the same
– no.
It doesn't have the same appeal or intensity for Florida.
No. So I say all that to say – is there a chance Tennessee could hang around in this game and make it interesting? I think that there is. I think you're going to see a lot of people betting on Florida big this week. And maybe it ends up going that way. I think, historically speaking, it may end up going that way. But I could see Tennessee hanging around in this game. Do they actually have a chance to win this game? I would put that chance at less than 3%. I don't think they've got much of a chance at all to win this game because I just don't think they've got the depth to do what is necessary to go on the road and win this game. It would take, to me, a superhuman performance at quarterback, and that's why Joe Milton, to me, is still intriguing. Because I don't know that Hendon Hooker is capable of that. I think Joe Milton is, if he hits on the throws. I don't have great confidence he'll hit on the throws, but I think it would take something like that to win this game.
Yeah, I mean, he could make, like, the Felipe Franks throw that he made in 2017 against Tennessee, you know,
correct,
routinely. I mean, you need some stuff like that. But I mean, I agree. I think the ceiling is higher.
I mean, right now the line is 20.5. Florida's a 20.5 point favorite in this game.
Wow.
That's a 3-touchdown favorite.
That is a big line.
Yeah.
That's the biggest is that the biggest in a while in this series? I mean, I understand they've had, you know, better teams and they've won some games going away, but boy, I'd like to know the history of the Tennessee Florida line. Not the Georgia Florida line. I don't want any of that history.
The other day it was 16.5, and then Alabama played Florida and that line went up significantly. It's a 4-point swing. It's pretty good.
It's gone from 16.5 to 20.5 already?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Well, it was 16.5 before Alabama played Florida.
I got you.
So last week you could have gotten the line at 16.5.
Yeah.
And now it's 20.5.
That's a big number.
Yeah.
I'm already thinking about Pigskin Pick'em and trying to bounce back from my horribleness. But yeah, I think you're right on Milton. I think you have a chance for him to have. And look, you also they could go the other way. It could be worse with him, and you probably have a certain safeness in the middle there with Hooker.
Yep.
But I think I'd go for it.
I think you're going to see if Milton's healthy. I think there's a chance you could see both, and not just because like okay, Joe Milton comes in and he's overthrown six receivers in a row and they pull him. Like, I think there's a chance that the game plan could account for both in that game.
Yeah. I could see that. You know, it's just one of those things. It's just the same thing. Like, going into a game like this, I want my quarterback, who has to be great in this game, to get every single rep with the ones. That's the only thing, you know?
Yep.
And I think Milton in particular, he's still like a raw player to some extent in some ways, with again I think a very high ceiling, but is he ready? That's the thing too. So what if Milton's like 80%, 85%? See, that's where it's like, gosh, I think the QB run game really needs to be a part of this game. And Hendon Hooker automatically he's just faster.
Yeah.
And you can do more things that way with him, so that's got to be part of it too.
Mark from Clarksville texting in on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. In order for Tennessee to win, they need Harrison Bailey to play and be the future Heisman Trophy winner that we all know he is. That's the only chance. Help us, Harrison Bailey. You're our only hope. Very well done, Mark.
So Mark is being sarcastic, right?
Yes.
Thank you, Mark. I thought so. I just wanted to make sure. Got to have the sarcasm.
That's right.
Asterisk.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Trey Wallace from OutKick. We'll look ahead to the Tennessee game against Florida, get his thoughts on the Vols quarterback situation as well. All that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Looking ahead to Tennessee's big matchup on Saturday against Florida. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our good friend Trey Wallace, now covering the SEC for OutKick. So, Trey, congratulations on the new gig, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Hey, thank you guys so much. I appreciate you guys having me. And interesting game coming up this weekend in Gainesville. Look forward to talking about it.
I don't think there's any question about that. And Trey, I guess through the first three games of the season, two opponents where Tennessee was just flat out better and dominated, really, in those games. And then a tough loss to Pittsburgh. What has kind of stood out to you through these first three games? What have you learned about Josh Heupel and company through the first three games of the season?
To me, the defense has kind of stood out to me more so than the offense. I think the secondary finally had themselves a game against Tennessee Tech. And look, I know it's Tennessee Tech, and that's fine. But creating turnovers, interceptions, you know, take away the wackiness of that second quarter against Pittsburgh. And maybe Tennessee sitting in a different spot right now. I think the biggest thing, you know, with this Vols defense is building up that depth along the defensive line. Because, you know, if they're having to rotate, you know, guys in, you know, in every other play, especially up front, it's not going to give Tennessee the best opportunity to win. And also, you know, when you're having to go to your third string or whatnot on that defensive line, just because maybe they're kind of worn down, you know, you're not going to get much help, especially from the back end too, where I don't know if you guys have seen it or not, but you know, they've rotated their linebackers a lot. Yep. Over the course of the last three games. But I think the defense is kind of stood out to me. I think they're playing better than I thought they would. I think Tim Banks' philosophy and play calling has been good for them. And we're going to see if that, you know, if they can really step up on that thing Saturday against the Gators. You know, and the big thing to me is, again, how much push can they get up front? Because they don't get a lot of push. Florida, you know, it could be a long day, especially outside the pocket, if Emory Jones could get loose.
Yeah, I agree. And boy, I mean, I just never would have guessed Florida would run the ball in Alabama the way they did, Trey. But boy, that was impressive. One guy who did debut for Tennessee, Byron Young. I know in camp the word was he was awfully impressive out there. What kind of difference do you think he could make? Do you think that, you know, Byron and Barron can be sort of a good pass rush duo and kind of bring this defense to another level?
I think, Joe, that it definitely helps. I think it's hard to put a barometer on how good of a guy plays, you know, when it's against Tennessee Tech. But I think you're going to see this weekend, you know, okay, how much can Byron Young complement Tyler Barron? You know, if you get them on the field at the same time, can you get that pass rush coming off the edge where you're not having to rely on this? I mean, look, you're going to have to rely on the guys up front. You know, at the nose tackle position, whatever, defensive tackle, Mackie Butler. But Tennessee has got to create pressure from different angles. And look, they got to create pressure without having to bring, you know, two linebackers. You know, the biggest thing that Florida could do against Tennessee is have them, you know, see Tennessee blitzing using Jeremy Banks or Mitchell or whoever they put at linebacker, and then not get any kind of pass rush off the edge, which leaves the middle of the field wide open. So Tennessee's just going to have to get home. And if Byron Young has fantastic speed coming off the edge, he's physical, but I want to see now what it looks like when he goes up against an SEC opponent. When he goes, you know, when you're going up against an SEC right tackle, let's see how hard you can get off that edge and get to the quarterback. I would imagine, you know, they maybe stand him up a little bit, get his hand to the dirt, try to create a little bit of madness for the Florida offensive line. But I agree, Joe. If Tennessee's defense is going to have any kind of success this weekend, it's going to rely on can Byron Young and Tyler Barron get to the quarterback and cause mistakes from Emory Jones. And the biggest thing to me, too, is don't let Emory Jones or you know, if it's AR-15 down there in Florida running the football, don't let them get outside the pocket. So I'm very interested, you know, if they use them as spies or they use them to completely go after the quarterback. So that's an interesting little duo for the Vols they have right now.
Trey Wallace from OutKick on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Trey, Josh Heupel spoke to the media yesterday and did not want to get into hypotheticals about Joe Milton and his availability for Saturday's game. That's fine. That's his right. But we'll do that here on this show. So let's just assume for the sake of argument that Joe Milton is healthy and is available for Tennessee on Saturday. Who are you starting at quarterback if you're Josh Heupel?
If Joe Milton's ready to go, I think that Tennessee rolls with Joe Milton. If that ankle is 100%, and none of these players are going to be 100%, but if they can get out there and he can run around and scramble and throw the football, I think you're going to go with Milton, but you know you've got Hooker right there in the bag if you need to go with him. I honestly expect both of them to play, but, you know, Joe Milton, if you look at the offense over the last three games, it just feels like Joe Milton is the quarterback that can get this team lined up and get a play out within 6 seconds of the last one. It just feels like they run a little bit faster with Joe than they do with Hendon. And that's okay, but I think this staff really, really likes the potential and the ceiling for Joe Milton. They're hoping that he can correct those mistakes when it comes to overthrow balls. And athletically, I think Joe Milton is the guy. You know, if it's third and two and you need to pick up a first down, you want to run a QB draw, you might have a better opportunity for Joe Milton just bum rushing it right up the middle compared to maybe Hendon trying to go to the outside, which we've seen a couple times already this season. To me, I would go with the guy that has started last two games, in a sense, with Hendon Hooker. I know Joe played a good amount against Pittsburgh, but it's been the Hooker show for the last game and a half. But, you know, what? When it comes down to it, if you're going into the swamp and you want to try to test these guys deep in Florida and back them up off the line of scrimmage, then I think you have to go with somebody like Joe Milton. But when it comes down to it, and you need a scramble quarterback as well, you know, Hendon Hooker is going to be there. And I think they're both going to help Tennessee this weekend. But if he's healthy, I think Josh Heupel is going to give Joe Milton the nod.
Do you think, obviously you're trying to win a game, you know, this week. This is a rivalry game. This is a huge game. This is a big moment for Josh Heupel in his first year. But do you think, like, the long-term view of the position factors in here at all, Trey, as well? And I guess what I mean is, you know, Joe Milton does have two more years of eligibility after this. In theory, if he were to put it all together, you could have a really good quarter. I guess you could look at that and say, well, if he does put it all together, then you might lose him to the league, I guess. But like, do you think that's any sort of consideration for this staff as they look at the QB situation?
I mean, it could be. I don't look, as we said, three games in the season, I don't see Tennessee losing Joe Milton, you know, to the NFL, but you never know what goes on in these young kids' heads. But I think when you're trying to base this on the future and figure out the quarterback position, which has been Tennessee's main problem over the last 5-6 years, I guess, ever since Josh Dobbs left, I would say, yeah, you know, that is a good reflection on what I hear when it comes to Tennessee. But they also, look, they also know that they got to go in there and they need to win some games now. You know, if you don't win this Florida game, okay, you at least need to establish yourself enough in that position where you can go to Missouri and give, you know, Eli Drinkwitz and Connor Bazelak a game, you know, be able to come home and figure out, okay, how are we going to keep up with Ole Miss when they come to town? You know, I get it's the Florida game, but this coaching staff has got to put a finger on who's going to be the guy that leads them into the future. And I kind of agree with you on that one, Joe, that if you've got a quarterback that has years remaining at the university, you got a freshman coming in next year in Taven Jackson, but if you feel like you can build something around this guy and you don't just kind of want him to feel like he's being left out or get that signal that he might, I don't want to say move on somewhere else, but if you're going to work all off season and then all of a sudden just kind of say, okay, we're done with this guy, let's move on to the next. I just don't see how that benefits Tennessee. I think if you're trying to build the future, you need to try to build these quarterbacks up. And the guy that it could be, like you just said, would be Milton when it comes to years at Tennessee left. So just because I don't think you're going to see Harrison Bailey, you know, playing quarterback for Tennessee anytime in the next 2 to 3 years.
Trey, last thing for you here. What did you learn about Florida in their game against Alabama on Saturday? I was thoroughly impressed. Quite frankly, I was not all that impressed by Florida the first 2 weeks of the season, but level of competition steps up, and their response stepped up as well on Saturday. What did you learn about Florida against Alabama?
Florida's defense might actually be kind of for real here. You hold Alabama to under 100 yards rushing. I don't care who you are and where you are.
Yep.
You've accomplished something. I think Florida's defense played well. I think the offense, somehow they got just enough done with Emory Jones. Like, if you look at the stats from Emory Jones, you're like, whoa, wait a minute. Okay, this is interesting. But then when you look at Florida, what they did with the rushing attack, they completely beat up Alabama on the ground. And that's not something that you would think would happen, you know, when it comes to this type of game and what Alabama has in that front seven. But I look at Florida and think, okay, maybe this team's a little bit better than folks thought. I still think they have to do something when it comes to throwing the ball downfield. I don't see Emory Jones as that type of guy right now, that type of quarterback. But if they can continue just getting those small things out of Emory and then wait for Anthony, you know, the backup quarterback to be able to come in and rush the football, get it down the field, throw it with his laser arm, then maybe Florida has something here. But I would have to say, coming out of that game, the defense was the most surprising part, and I think that's what's going to get Tennessee fits this upcoming game. And then that rushing attack, man, I mean, again, it's Alabama. I get it, that front seven. But if you can do something like they did and put up over 200 yards on the ground, you're doing something right.
Trey Wallace covers the SEC for OutKick, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Trey, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, as always.
Guys, y'all have a great week. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks, Trey. Trey Wallace from Outkick, our guest here on Robbie and Rexhard. We'll come back. We'll react to what Trey had to say there. Take your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rexhard here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Join us in partnering with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Light the Night. Light the Night brings light to the darkness of cancer through hope, research, and support for patients and their families. Through this inspirational nationwide movement, we raise awareness and funding for groundbreaking research and treatment options to eliminate cancer. Nashville's Light the Night will be virtual and take place on November the 4th. Learn more at lightthenight.org/TN. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexhard here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. And Robbie and Rexhard brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Thanks to Trey Wallace for joining us in the last segment. Joe, as I mentioned, Florida, a 20.5-point favorite against Tennessee coming up on Saturday. And to Trey's point to end the segment there, you hold Alabama under 100 yards rushing, doing pretty well. I was really impressed by the intensity that Florida brought to the table on Saturday. And now the question is, if you're Tennessee, how do you overcome what is going to be a physical mismatch that you're going to have to find a way to exploit if you're Josh Heupel? I mean, Tennessee, they've got talent. They are not as talented, and they are not as deep as Florida. So that's going to be something you're going to have to try to overcome if you're Josh Heupel and company.
Yeah, I mean, are they just going to be overwhelmed in the trenches? See, I wouldn't have thought that before I watched Florida play Alabama. Yep. Now I'm like, oh, so they've got some guys. And you knew they had talent, but will what they did against Alabama translate to this? If it does, it's a real problem for Tennessee. But the letdown factor is something you think about emotionally. You also think about any team that plays Alabama the next week, probably feeling it a little bit. And even the crowd, Dan Mullen's like, everybody needs to get like honey and, you know, whatever it is to get your voices back, you know, honey and hot tea or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, they've got to bounce back too, that crowd at the Swamp. So honestly, that's part of the formula here for the Vols, is that the Gators have a letdown.
Still going to be a big game for friend of the show, Steve Spurrier. He'll be looking forward to this one.
Oh, yes, he will. I saw he was all over the place before ball coach was all over the place for the last game.
Yes, he was. Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Gator Tim texting in. Tennessee is relatively South Florida or Florida Atlantic at this point. Florida will roll. Richardson will be much better than Jones, but Jones has 3 years with Dan Mullen. So,
wow.
Gator Tim comparing Tennessee to South Florida or Florida Atlantic.
Dang, Gator Tim. Get those shots. I mean, what can you do? What can you say? What can you do?
He might be right. I don't know. I guess we'll begin to find out on Saturday. Nate texting in. Even if Florida has a Bama hangover, I fully expect them to put up at least 30, if not 40, on the Vols.
Yeah, look, I think the path to an interesting game, okay?
You got to create turnovers.
Well, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But also, you're going to have to be into the 40s.
Oh, yeah.
And honestly, like, look, I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility if the Vols had an incredible execution night. Also, though, you have to have balance, even in this offense. And you need one of those backs, you know, Small to come back, Evans to be healthier and better. You need one of those backs to get going. And you got to have that bounce. You got to have possessions. Even though you're running tempo, it'd be good to have some five-minute, you know, touchdown drives.
It would. And to Trey's point, I mean, you've got to make sure your tempo is a factor. Like, Alabama goes fast, but they're not really a tempo-style offense. You've got to kind of double down on your tempo if you're Tennessee this week. Make Florida as uncomfortable as possible. Now, and we've talked about this, the risk you run when you do that is if you go three and out in 22 seconds, that's going to be not very much fun on your defense in that game.
And that happens with this offense. That was an interesting point by Trey on pre-snap, on Milton running it a little faster than Hooker. I mean, I can't say that I've notice that, but you know, if that's how the staff feels, that does matter. Because I agree. I would say you want to have some possessions where just as fast as you can go, as scripted, as fast, and you got a great plan, and you go boom, boom, boom,
yep,
and you try to hit them. And then you know, some mixing it up. And, again, you need to be able to run the ball and at times get to the line and then go ahead and, you know, look things over for 15 seconds before you snap it too. But I would say some of those super fast lightning quick drives where you execute perfectly would be very timely here.
Caleb texting in. I think we're going to try to play a lot of zone to try and keep Jones in the pocket and force him to beat us throwing the ball. Have to prevent big plays and hope he makes a bad decision or two. I think that's certainly going to be part of what Josh Heupel tries to do. I mean, to me, for Tennessee to win this game or to even really hang in this game, because, again, I don't give the Vols much of a chance to win this game, but to really hang around, the one thing you can't have happen on the defensive side of the ball is for Florida to just gash you in the running game. And I think Florida might be able to just gash them in the running game coming up. And if they can do that, it's just going to be too easy for this offense. I still, like, if I'm Dan Mullen, I don't know that I'm trusting, even though he played great last week for the most part, I don't know that Emory Jones is the guy that you want throwing the ball 40 times a game out there.
No. And to the Texas point on zone, man, I mean, you know, it's always a very risky proposition to play man against a quarterback like that,
right?
Because, you know, your backs are turned. Whereas in a zone, you're keeping an eye on him. You know, I mean, a man look, a heavy dose of man could be a real problem with Emory Jones running. You got to mix it up, and obviously sometimes you have to play man, but you got to be able to get to him with four. And again, that's where if Byron Young, and it's kind of the same sort of thing with discipline, rushing lanes and all that stuff, you know, you can't let him out of there, but if Byron Young and Tyler Barron can become something Saturday as a tandem, that could be a big factor. You gotta find some stops, and like you said, you gotta create some turnovers.
Ronnie texting in, as a Florida fan, I can tell you that the defense played better for three quarters than I've seen in a long time. I'm assuming against Alabama. Emory Jones will give you one or two picks if you catch him. Realistically, though, Florida will come back to earth, but has the horses to win comfortably, and I think that's probably the most likely scenario. Probably not going to have the same intensity level that they had against Alabama, but talent-wise, they're just better than Tennessee at this point.
Yeah, I'm really interested. Just the front seven, you know, Tennessee, like you said, the running game, do they have – I mean, they've got a lot of guys. That's the one area where they have depth is up front defensively. They've got some pretty good players. Like, this is a game where, you know, you want, like, an Elijah Simmons to just stand out and just make things – difficult for them. You got to have somebody who does more than just fills their gap, you know.
Yep.
And this is going to be definitely an indication of kind of where that ceiling is for Tennessee, because again, I like a lot of what I've seen. I think the defense is better than I thought, and there's some things to like about it, but can you actually stand up to a team that can run the ball like this and make them do something different? I don't know.
Georgia coming in on Saturday to Nashville, take on Vanderbilt. The line is Georgia, 33.5.
33.5.
33.5 point favorites, okay, on the FanDuel Sportsbook.
Yep. I guess that's right about right, I suppose. By the way, Vanderbilt UConn is the next week, and it's a primetime game.
Yes, it is. I saw that.
So, you know, it's prime.
I mean, you can wait all day and let that anticipation build. For Vandy and UConn.
I just, you know.
You going to be in the building for that?
No, I'll be in New York for the Titans. I hate.
Thought you might hang back for that one.
UConn. Yeah. Hate UConn, by the way. You know, they're down 42-0 to Army at halftime. So I'm like, that's, there you go. Easy.
The
easy
spread was
call.
33.5.
Yeah. Was it 33.5? I knew it was like 35 or 34. Yeah.
33.5.
And they.
Tragic. Rex Road.
UConn with some garbage time TDs, but. Yeah,
I would expect the stadium on Saturday to be full for Georgia and Vanderbilt.
Yeah,
it's going to be a lot of Georgia fans.
Well, will it be full? It might be.
I think it might be.
It might be. Certainly 2 years ago. 2 years ago was a big, and I wrote about this at the time, I had seen a lot of good crowds for the opponent at Vanderbilt football games. But there are certain seats at Vanderbilt where you can pretty much count on like alums, to be in those seats. That night, they sold them to the Georgia fans, and it was not pretty. And you're probably right. It's going to be a Georgia home game. It's going to be a Georgia blowout. I mean, this is going to be a test of, one, can Vanderbilt just put up a fight in any way? And then also, how do they react to this? It's not going to be fun.
No.
It's not going to be fun during it. It's not going to be fun after it.
And Georgia fans, for some reason, just have this weird obsession with Vanderbilt since they didn't play last year.
Yeah, because for some reason last year there were all these cancellations. You can find them everywhere. But just because I know it was like senior day that was lost, so that's part of it.
Well, and I guess they could have become the winningest senior class in Georgia football history. That's what it is. That's why they're so bad.
So, and Vanderbilt didn't, they didn't have enough people, but for whatever reason, that particular game is seen as like that's the quitting, and everything else is legit.
I saw a Georgia message board that wanted Kirby Smart to hang up 100 points on Vanderbilt this week just for that. I was like, golly, y'all got a long memory about this stuff. I would have forgot about that a long time ago.
Yeah, it's very petty and pretty lame, but also, like, it's not good for Vandy.
No, it's probably
like,
not.
You don't want them to also still be mad at you, right? Like, you already have a problem playing Georgia. I don't know. We had the Shane Beamer clip.
Yeah.
Which we should play at some point this week. I mean, they are.
They've got 105-star guys on defense, Beamer said.
Yeah, yeah. So you already have real problems, and now they're mad at you? No. Not great.
When we come back, we'll get back into the Tennessee Titans. Our good friend David Beauclair from SI.com will join us. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.